Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Bill Bender is going to join us at high noon. So we're going to talk to Bill Bender from the Sporting News, and we'll talk a little bit about the NFL. We'll get some quarterbacks talk with him, too, as well. Oh, my God, I just went southern. Did you hear that? We'll get some quarterback talk with him.
You going to go do it with your family?
With my family. Such an honor and a pleasure to be working here in Georgia.
Thought it was Louisiana.
You can be a loser, Anna, whatever that state is down there with the losers. Louisiana. No, I'm just kidding. By the way, did you see, I shouldn't bring this up probably now, but I will anyway.
Okay.
We were looking at a picture. It was in New Orleans. Probably it's Times-Picayune, right?
Yeah, it's Times-Picayune.
It's so cold there right now that the streets have frozen over, and there was a guy ice skating with. He had skates on. He had a stick. He had a helmet. Good for him. He was wearing a helmet.
Floating around, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the front page of the Times-Picayune is a guy walking down the street with a tuba. Playing down Bourbon Street.
Sure.
Man, they've had a rough run there last couple weeks. Not a lot of fun.
No, that's very true.
All right. So let's get into the Cavaliers. They are playing tonight in Houston, speaking of the bad weather.
We think.
And we're assuming that
We did get a Fedor update, didn't we, Dano?
Yes, Chris Fedor has officially touched down in Houston.
Oh, good for him.
Took him all day. He got in this morning. He'll be able to get there tonight. They opened the airport in the morning, so... He is on the ground. Boots on the ground in Houston.
Do I need to say it, or is it too trite?
I mean, if you have to ask, you already know the answer.
Mm-hmm. Houston, we no longer have a problem. Is that better?
I bet they still do.
Houston, we have one less problem.
Now he has to get from the airport to his hotel.
He'll make it. Even if he has to skate.
He'll make it.
He can figure it out. Hey. He'll make it because he's a trooper, and we know he knows how to do that. All right, so Cavaliers tonight, Houston Rockets. Rockets are 28-14. They're second in the West right now. It's an 8 o'clock tip-off. This should be a good game again tonight. Rockets are 14-7 at home. The Rockets have a lot of good things going for them right now. Trade deadline, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Jeff, worried, not worried? Who would they get rid of? Who wouldn't they? Who would they hang on to? The core four is not going anywhere. I think we kind of have a feel for what's going on. If I had to ask you right now, will the Cavaliers make a trade? You will say?
Yes.
And who is the asset or assets, future assets, that they may use to make a deal?
Second round picks.
Down the road.
Yeah.
And that's it?
Yep.
That's all they're going to have to give up?
Yep.
So,
In other words, I'm not expecting any blockbuster moves. I can see a little tinkering, though. Like the whole Cam Johnson thought.
Is that dead if he can only do it on second round picks?
I don't think it's necessarily dead. I just don't think it'll happen.
Is he the missing piece?
Oh, I don't know. I think his skill set's missing from the team. That I do think. Hmm. They're in a position, you know, they've been so good in the regular season, which is all well and good. But the issue that I've had with the team for some time since Donovan got here hasn't changed. What's happened is Kenny Atkinson has made it work. You know, I don't like the fact that the team is based around two smaller guards, and then you have two big guys along with them who I think are terrific. And the two smaller guards are terrific. But so much of the NBA now is based around, you know, long, lanky guys on the wing. And I think teams like that could give the Cavaliers absolute fits in the playoffs. And I would like them to have more of a counterattack when it comes to playing teams like that, and I don't think they have it. Doesn't mean they can't win the series. Doesn't mean they can't win the whole thing. But, you know, if you're looking for something that could this be a problem, I think that could still be the problem. Despite Kenny Atkinson's great job of coaching this team, putting in an offense that really works and making it better. And hopefully that's enough to you know, make up for that, what I think is a real lacking aspect of the roster. On the other hand, what the Cavaliers have, other teams lack. You know, so it's like you get into a series and you coach it up and you see what happens. And there are no perfect rosters in the NBA. None. So take what you have, coach it up, and try and beat the other guys at what they do.
How much pressure is there on the Cavaliers to make a move, though? I don't think any.
They're the best team in the NBA record-wise.
But they always seem to make a move.
That's all right.
And that's okay. I kind of like, you know, why I like it, because it seems like they're aggressive. And I do think they understand that sometimes you've got to give up something to get something if you think it's going to get you a better result when it's all said and done.
Yeah, in theory, that's all accurate. I don't think there's any pressure at all. The only thing is, are they comfortable with the roster knowing that the playoffs are coming up and they might have problems with teams that have that length out on the wing that can really change a game. You know, do you have people who can guard those guys well enough while they continue to produce on the offensive end? I don't know. We'll find out.
Is there something we talk about this wing, you know.
I wouldn't mind another big guy, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Is there something else that you were looking for?
I wouldn't mind another big guy. I mean, what's gonna happen if Jared Allen, if Evan Mobley, miss any extended period of time? I think you could use another big guy.
And if you're a fan, like, so we're just kind of sitting around here,
no perfect rosters, and the Cavs have a really good one.
But what are you looking at? Are you looking at guys that are sitting on the bench right now on other teams that you think have some potential in that? Because I don't know. I don't know that they have the assets if you're just looking at it from second-round draft pick, or maybe you're looking for the expiring contract.
You're going to have teams that are going to move veterans because they're on expiring deals. And that happens all the time. Hmm. You know, there are ways to pick up guys down the stretch. Like they got Morris last year. And you can find guys. It'll happen.
You're hoping that there's a team that's got a pretty good guy out there that's willing, that they're just ready to go in a different direction. Don't you think you kind of got to play it that way?
Anybody who can come in and be a major difference maker, Andy, isn't going to come cheap. You know, like the Cam Johnson talk that's out there like crazy. He's not going to come cheap.
Hmm. And then let me throw this at you, too, just because we've got a couple minutes here, too. The trade that happened yesterday with the Suns and the Jazz and, you know, the Cavs, those picks that are sitting in Utah right now possibly could end up in Phoenix because of the way they
is that deal official yet?
I saw this morning. I thought it was official.
I thought it was too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So again, if you're missing the trade that happened, three picks the Suns are getting. They'll get the least favorable of multiple picks owned by the Jazz in specific years. So in 2025. The Suns will get the least favorite. It sounds weird just saying.
It's weird that they're giving up three number one picks to get one number one pick. It seems like a little
bit
of a roll.
How many
of
those number
dice.
One picks are they actually going to be able to take?
Well, that's the thing. I wonder, you know, even after this trade, Andy, they have 11 first-round picks in the next seven drafts. The Utah Jazz, 11 in the next seven. You know, that's a team, you know?
So that's, on paper, though, it kind of with 11 picks, right, still to go, it seems to me like the Jazz, this is a pretty good deal for the Jazz. They're giving up picks that really aren't there. Wait, could one be theirs if it's a natural?
Yeah.
Of the worst pick? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not giving up their big prizes.
They're holding on to two picks in the first round in 2025, 27, and 29. So it's, I mean, they're clearly dealing from a position of strength. I just think it's an interesting little gamble on the part of Utah that, okay, we're thinking that Suns pick in 2031, I mean, it is 2025, that's 6 years down the road.
Right.
We're dumping three first-rounders. And remember, you know, with the first-round pick comes the extra year of guarantee and everything else. And, you know, they're not going to draft three guys. But I find it interesting that they traded it for one pick in 2031, thinking, let's see how that goes.
Okay, so I know this is
narrow. Either that or I don't understand the trade completely.
I know this is narrow thinking in some ways, and I think Dan was kind of on board with this when we were talking about it before the show, that in some ways it kind of feels like the Cavaliers may have won the Donovan Mitchell deal a little bit more with this trade, because don't you think that Utah is saying to themselves, well, there's a good chance that the Cavaliers are going to remain good, so that first round overall pick isn't going to be a really good pick after all in the first round. It's narrow thinking. But
they have three first rounders in each of those years, and they're dealing the lowest of those. It could be Minnesota, although Minnesota hasn't been the same since they traded Karl Anthony Towns.
Right.
And, you know, if Utah gets its act together, it could be theirs. But, Donovan's been terrific here.
And re-signed here.
And
that was the key.
The Cavs gave up a boatload for him.
I mean, I was in the Phelps camp there for a minute thinking that maybe they gave up too much if for some reason he was going to leave.
I still think
if he left, now I don't know so much. I mean,
it's not just the draft picks. You gave up an all-star 6'11 guy. You gave up a guard who can play well. You gave up your first-round pick who's doing okay for Toronto.
They
gave up a boatload.
Was it worth it? Would you still have done it today? And have you changed? Because you were very much against it.
No, I forever will think they gave up too much. I think teams that make those trades, it comes back to bite them.
So far, it hasn't.
Well, not here.
Agree to that?
Not here.
Todd in Ward 1. Hi, Todd.
A monster rebounder, Jeff. A monster rebounder, Andy. I don't know who he is.
Todd, would you like a monster rebounder? I'm just curious because I need you to be clear on exactly what you want. Go ahead, one more time.
A monster rebounder. I don't want to hear any other conversation other than that. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he plays for. But there's nothing they need more than that, because at the end of the season, they are going to have to deal with the Celtics, and they do not have a monster rebounder. They have good rebounders, but they don't have dudes that folks are scared to go up against them for that ball.
Sure, it's a good rebounder, but I'd love to add another guy if you could, Todd. I agree. But, here's the thing.
Okay,
you have four spots locked up in your starting five, and your rotation's pretty set. And where are you going to find time for that guy? You're going to have to make it, and you're going to have to juggle some things. But that's okay. You know, if you take a step back in the regular season and make it a better playoff team in the long run, you're better off, right?
I would think so.
Yep.
In the long run is where the championship is determined.
That is correct.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
Thanks. I ask, you want a monster rebounder, what are you giving up? What do the Cavs have to give up? Future draft picks. What's the next first round, 31? When's the next time they can give up a first rounder? I thought it was
2030.
Oh, so 30. Okay, not 31. You've got that. You've got Caris LeVert's
expiring.
No,
the next time they can give one up is 2031.
Okay, so I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2031.
LeVert's expiring contract?
Yeah, but Caris LeVert helps you.
Yeah, I know, so I'm not getting rid of him.
See, that's...
A ton of second rounders.
That's the conundrum.
I don't see the assets.
You could give up your first-round pick, Tyson. You could do that.
From this year.
I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I think he's a player.
216-474-0092. That is the number to call. When we come back, we're going to talk to Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Get a little NFL talk. We're going to see who he likes this weekend as well in the AFC and NFC Championship.